W2DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. After an unannounced trip to Ukraine, President Biden is in Warsaw for tomorrow's meetings with Poland's president and NATO allies. It's the one-year anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. ABC's Inez de la Quintera is in Warsaw.
He's also going to talk about how the U.S. has been rallying international support for Ukraine, how the U.S. will continue to do so, and why that's important. We heard Biden talking a little bit about that today, saying this isn't just about freedom for Ukraine, it's about democracy at large.
Another earthquake in Turkey today, 6.3 magnitude, comes 2 weeks after the last deadly quake. Three more people dead, more than 200 others hurt. That's on top of more than 40,000 already killed while rescues continue. They've arrested a suspect in Catholic Bishop David O'Connell's killing. Los Angeles police say he was found in his home with a gunshot wound. The TSA has confiscated a record number of guns at U.S. airport checkpoints. This is ABC News. Michigan State University's East Lansing students are back at class today, a week after a shooter killed three students and injured five others. Gunman killed himself when police moved in to arrest him. Nation's 39th president, said to be at peace at home in Plains, Georgia, 98-year-old Jimmy Carter, deciding to spend his final days in hospice care.
In few places is Jimmy Carter's absence felt more than within the walls of Maranatha Baptist Church, where the former president has taught Sunday school for decades. Yesterday, his niece, Kim Fuller, took on the duties, acknowledging that,
"Maybe it's time to pass the baton. Who'll pick it up? I have no clue. I don't know."
On days when Jimmy Carter teaches, hundreds from around the country attend. When he's gone, only a handful of parishioners show up. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Atlanta.
An alligator trapper in Fort Pierce, Florida, has captured the gator believed to be responsible for today's killing of an 85-year-old woman. They have recovered the victim's body. Andy Field, ABC News.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
It's
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Come. Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I don't say this enough, Wen, but, you know, we're coming from... Our Ho-Chunk way, we call this Macho Hoodoos, and that means a place where you take blue clay from. And, you know, we're from down southern Minnesota here, too. Mm. Before there were borders, you know, in Blue Earth and Winnebago and down in that area in Minnesota. And we've had traditional land here up in the Mississippi for tens of thousands of years. So it's always my pleasure to start the show off and remind people that.
Actually, I want to just say this really quickly. You know, yesterday I took our godchild Renzo to the Children's Theater in Minneapolis, and we went to see a little children's show. And before the show, they announced, you know, shut off your cell phone and all that good stuff. But they said, I want to remind everybody that you are on Dakota land, and this is Dakota land. And they did a land acknowledgement there. Yeah. And I was really surprised. It was like, wow.
That's good.
I loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just ran into a Ho-Chunk that goes to St. Thomas right over here. We're kind of by the St. Thomas College, Wendy and I. And they said that they say Anishinaabe and Ho-Chunk when they do land acknowledgement. Nice. And that's the first I heard of that. So
very cool.
Land back. And speaking of land back, we talk about news that you don't hear anywhere else. And we have Zoe Allen that's going to be doing the news tonight. And we're going to critique it and we're going to score it from 1 to 10, Zoe. And we'll get back to you on that. But this will be your big shot. And we really appreciate you stepping in here and doing the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Zoe.
Me glitch. Yeah, so bonjour, all my relatives. This is Zoe Allen. I'm a citizen of the Sichangu Lakota of Rosebud and also a descendant of the Anishinaabe of White Earth, which is where I'm currently broadcasting from today. So the first story I have for us comes from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation News, or CBC News. The Haudenosaunee Confederacy has been able to retrieve sacred objects from a museum in Geneva, Switzerland. This occurred on February 7th, so really recent. A delegation from the Haudenosaunee External Relations Committee traveled all the way to Geneva to retrieve the sacred objects, which included a medicine mask and a turtle rattle, which were in the museum's possession for almost 200 years. The Haudenosaunee people reside in both the U.S. and Canada, for our listeners that don't know. They also consider Medicine Mask to be a living beings, which are never to be photographed. And, you know, that falls along with a lot of Indigenous nations who consider virtually everything to have a spirit. So Mohawk citizen Kenneth Deere was quoted stating that it was like the mask was sleeping for 200 years and the mask is now coming back awake. He went on to say that sacred Indigenous objects are not wall decor, unlike colonial museums often treat them. The items were first donated to the museum in 1825 by a Swiss historian and politician. It is not known how they came into his possession in the first place, and the process of repatriation took about 7 months after the items were spotted in July 2022 by a Haudenosaunee citizen, Brennan Ferguson. And 7 months is pretty incredible for a repatriation to occur. Usually they take a lot longer. Ferguson went on to say that other museums should follow suit of the Geneva Museum, as they were so swift to process the repatriation request and return the sacred pieces in a formal ceremony. They also had a tree planting ceremony to commemorate the Repatriation Act in Geneva. So also along the same theme of repatriation, this comes from NPR News. The University of Minnesota president, Joanne Gable, is recommending the return of a forestry research center near Cloquet, Minnesota, which is about 4 hours north of Minneapolis, near the North Shore, really close to Duluth, Minnesota. So this land is to be returned to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. The site in question is 3,400 acres, and it's located 3 miles west of Cloquet. It has been in the possession of the U of M for more than a century. The center itself has been the primary research site for the university since 1909. Originally, the land was reserved for the Fond du Lac Band in the La Pointe Treaty of 1854. And that treaty created a formal division between the Mississippi Ojibwe and the Lake Superior Ojibwe by specifying which bands would belong to each group for future negotiations with the U.S. government. However, federal laws in 1880 allowed for the U.S. government to give, quote unquote, unallotted lands to lumber companies for extensive logging, wherein after the site was gifted to the university. So returning this land won't necessarily be maybe as easy as the pieces in Geneva. This will require the U of M to contend with the state of Minnesota, who originally owns the land. So it might result in a much longer process. However, returning land requires a lot more than returning sacred objects. So we've, you know, a lot of the tribes in Minnesota have been through this. They know what to expect. But this act of repatriation was inspired by the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council letter that they released in 2020, which called out the University of Minnesota specifically to repair and improve its relationships with the surrounding tribes in Minnesota, as they have a long history of disrespecting and stealing lands. I believe they are a land grab university. And so this is just one act that's following the letter. So the repatriation of this land, however, does not come without some strings attached, as the U of M hopes to negotiate a memorandum of agreement with the tribe so that the school can continue its research efforts. And while this is definitely good news for the Fond du Lac Band, I think it's kind of tricky that they might still have to share this land with the university, because it is rightfully the Fond du Lac's land, and they should have uninhibited control of how the site is managed. I know a lot of other universities in the state, and even the college I went to, McAllister College, have research lands that are used only for students. And I know that McAllister has lands, and I've went and visited them, and they are accessible to most people. However, a lot of people don't know about them. And so Here's to hoping that the University of Minnesota's repatriation will set a precedent for other schools to follow in the state. And in other news, this comes from CTV News. Julie Black is drawing attention for a subtle change she made to the lyrics of O Canada at Sunday's NBA All-Star Game. The Juno Awarded winning R&B singer performed the national anthem before the game in Salt Lake City, Utah, and she altered one line to recognize the indigenous peoples who lived on the land before European settlers. So this had a positive reaction, and you know, hopefully this also helps repair relationships between you know, indigenous peoples and sports team, which have a history of being very racist and demeaning towards us. And I had one more, but maybe we'll get to it at the end because it is important. Right, so Jimmy Gwitz and Zoe Allen presenting the news.
Right on. Great job, Zoe. Right when?
Woohoo!
Yes. We might, we'll jump maybe a little bit of her article if it's a quick one, because we got Wendy up next with our sacred animal section.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Pini Gigi, Zoe Allen for that news update. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we got one of our super fans up there saying, good job. No, great job, Zoe. Whoa, not good job, great job. But that was awesome, and I understand before we get into
the sacred animal section.
Thank you, Wendy.
Zoe has more news, so go ahead, Zoe.
Thanks, Wendy.
Good, Wendy. Yeah, there was just one more thing I want to promote, an event coming up really soon, February 25th. The Warrior Woman Project recently announced that they're hosting an event to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the 1973 occupation of Wounded Knee, not to be confused with the 1890 massacre at Wounded Knee. So just to remind our listeners, the second Wounded Knee occurred due to a conflict that started between the Pine Ridge Oglala and tribal chairman, and it resulted in a 2.5-month armed conflict between AIM and federal law officials. So the Warrior Woman Project is a collaborative. They recently put a movie out in 2018. I've actually went and saw the movie. I don't know if Robert and Wendy, if you've been able to see it yet. It's really powerful.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of time.
Really centers the work of Madonna Thunderhawk and a lot of the women behind AIM whose stories you don't get to hear about as much. So the event will take place Saturday, February 25th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Porcupine, South Dakota. Some of these activities will include community lunch, a live roundtable discussion with some of the wounded women from Wounded Knee, and interactive oral history exhibit. So it should be really interesting. And if you can't go in person, I know that the event will be live streamed. So I will link their website at the bottom of our stream. But also for our listeners out there, you can just search warriorwomen.org and it should take you to the website and there'll be more information for you there.
Hey, wow. Thanks a lot, Zoe. And I will be in Wounded Knee's 50th anniversary. And we're really good friends with the Warrior Woman Project, which Madonna Thunderhawk's been on many times. And also, last time I was there with Clyde Belcourt. Mm-hmm. He asked me to go with him. It was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Madonna, who is close to 80, I think she's 82 now, was on a horse. So I'm just like, what the heck? It's crazy. She was driving around on a horse. You don't drive, but that's...
I ride around.
Right.
But we're city folk.
We drive around in horses. Hey, we got our sacred animal section. And then next, Wendy, we're going to have Dr. Stately of Minnesota Indian or Native American Community Clinic.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to talk slow and you're up.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. But on Friday, I was talking to everyone about the Minnesota groggy bear that woke up and was trapped in a culvert.
What?
Yeah, remember the culvert on the side of the road? See, and us city folk here don't know what culverts are on the side of the road where the water collects. But anyway, this bear made a den, and it flooded with water, and there were a bunch of people trying to save the bear and rescue the bear and, wanting to feed the bear because they figured that the bear would be hungry, and they threw food at him. 6 Pop-Tarts, a head of lettuce, a dead sucker minnow, some fancy feast cat food, bird seed, and some Swedish fish. The bear ended up being 400 pounds. He's very healthy, and he was relocated to a state game sanctuary where he will continue to hibernate safely. So I'm glad that those people were able to, get the authorities to come and get the bear. But I've been reading so many instances where bears are hibernating now under, people's houses and decks and porches. And there's a family in Plainsville, Connecticut, who discovered a black bear hibernating under their deck. They found out about it because their dog was growling, and the family looked underneath, and there he was, a bear. And the family said he's massive but super chill. And they contacted the Connecticut Department of Energy Environmental Protection, also known as DEEP, D-E-E-P, and they advised just to leave him alone as long as he's not bothering anybody. And they said, hibernating bears are really not a threat to any human beings. The DEEP people said that they get at least 15 to 20 calls a year about bears denning under decks and porches. And the family joked and said, it's barely been an issue.
No, come on.
And listen, happened. They named the bear Marty. The family has made Marty his own account on TikTok and Instagram. And you could check out the TikTok and Instagram page if you look up Marty.the.bear. So you could check him out. And they want to make his stay as comfortable as possible. And the Deep officials say Marty could stay there between until March or April of until he's finished hibernating. And then there was another instance, a woman in Pike County, Pennsylvania, found a sow, and a sow is a female black bear, and the bear was under her deck along with small cubs.
Oh.
Could you imagine? Yeah, the Pennsylvania Game Commission set up its black bear camera under her deck.
Yeah.
So that you could go on the PA for Pennsylvania, PA Black Bear Den Cam, and you could actually watch live footage of this bear.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Pennsylvania Game Commission said that black bears are not true hibernators. So you'll see her stretch out from time to time and take a yawn. And sometimes she'll start to nibble on the deck above and kind of move around a little bit. And they said that we won't see any of her cubs just yet because she's protecting and nurturing them. The Game Commission says she and her cubs present no danger to humans at all, especially the females with the cubs. And she's not going to leave because if she does, of course, the cubs will perish. Mm. So she has to be really careful about that. But again, watch it live on PA for Pennsylvania, Black Bear Den Cam. And I was able to go on and there's a little, I didn't watch it live, but I watched video of it. You could go online and just Google it and the little videos come out and they're already like edited of her moving around and stuff. And she's really, really cute, but she does look sleepy. You know, these bears do look sleepy. But I have 7 fun facts about bear hibernation. We'll probably just get to one or two of these. But we've talked about bear hibernation before, and I'm sure if I went on, I could find a lot more people around who have bears hibernating on their property. And I'm just happy about these two families that really are so excited that the bear is there and like kind of chose their place as a really safe, warm, cozy den for them to hibernate throughout their hibernation season, and that they really want to make sure that the bears are comfortable and warm and, you know, that they're not going to bother them at all. They're just going to let them stay there till the end of the season. So I love that so much.
So Yogi and Boo Boo are sleeping on.
Oh, I know. Yogi and Boo Boo.
Hey, Boo Boo. So, go get some a picnic basket.
Yeah, so both the Pennsylvania Game Commission and the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection said that once the bears wake up, they're just going to wake up and leave. They're not, you know, they're not going to cause any trouble. So just leave them there and that's it. But right before they hibernate, bears load up on food, eating up to 20,000 calories a day and gaining as much as 30 pounds a week.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I went to the store today and I, speaking of gaining 30 pounds a week, I went to the store today and I was very hungry while I was shopping, and that's not a good thing to do. Plus, we're going to have a snowstorm here. We're going to end
up with 22 inches
by Thursday. So I got lots of good snacks and lots of good cakes and things to munch out on. So speaking of gaining 30 pounds in a week, that might have homemade today, homemade vegan, because I'm vegan, everybody knows that, homemade vegan creamy wild rice soup. So we could have that, Robert.
Wow. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Is it Leech Lake wild rice?
It is. It's Leech Lake.
Okay,
yes.
I'll eat it then.
Yes. So one more thing here. Baby bears are born in the winter during hibernation and are nursed in the den until they emerge in the spring.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So lots of good fun facts about bears, and glad people are protecting them and keeping them safe.
Exactly. Hey, we are Native Roots Radio, and up next we're going to have Dr. Stately. And if Dr. Stately doesn't show up, the Native American Community Clinic, I'm sure we have some more bear trivia.
Oh, I have so much.
All right, right on. Hey, and I can do my impersonations of, hey, boo-boo, go get some of picnic baskets. All right, no, I can't. All right, we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. After an unannounced trip to Ukraine, President Biden is in Warsaw for tomorrow's meetings with Poland's president and NATO allies. It's the one-year anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. ABC's Inez de la Quintera is in Warsaw.
He's also going to talk about how the U.S. has been rallying international support for Ukraine, how the U.S. will continue to do so, and why that's important. We heard Biden talking a little bit about that today, saying this isn't just about freedom for Ukraine, it's about democracy at large.
Another earthquake in Turkey today, 6.3 magnitude, comes 2 weeks after the last deadly quake. Three more people dead, more than 200 others hurt. That's on top of more than 40,000 already killed while rescues continue. They've arrested a suspect in Catholic Bishop David O'Connell's killing. Los Angeles police say he was found in his home with a gunshot wound. The TSA has confiscated a record number of guns at U.S. airport checkpoints. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. More wintry weather coming our way. Snow expected to start Tuesday night into Wednesday before warmer temperatures turn it back to rain for southern Wisconsin. As the storm moves west to east across the state, snowfall will continue through Thursday in the central and northern parts. Warmer weather later in the week will create the potential for freezing rain in central and southern Wisconsin. Tomorrow is primary election day. Voters casting ballots among four candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The two top finishers move on to the April 4th general election. The eventual winner will determine whether conservatives keep the majority on the court or it flips 4-3 to liberal control for at least the next 2 years. The court upheld President Joe Biden's win in Wisconsin in 2020 by just one vote when conservative Brian Hagedorn sided with the liberal justices to confirm President Biden's win. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Didn't work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
ScotchaMamas.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're at Ma Cho Hodu's studios here. See how I threw that in there, Wendy? Kind
of fancy. Can you say it once more?
Ma Cho Hodu's. Hodu's.
Hodu's. That means, Minnesota?
It means, yeah, what we call Minnesota or St. Paul, Minneapolis area is a place where you take blue clay from. I can't talk tonight. But that's nothing
new.
That's nothing new, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, and you know, today is Dr. Stately Day, and we haven't talked to our friendly doctor from the Native, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and we're really happy to see you. And Dr. Stately, Wendy and I have a couple questions for you, especially with this snow-nami coming here in the Midwest.
Snowmageddon, yeah.
Oh, good one.
Snowmageddon, yeah. Wow.
Snowmageddon number two, this is the sequel. We had the first one a few weeks ago.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm in an 80s film when you name it like that. It's like, whoa, the shark. And the...
I'm sure it's not the first time you felt that way, actually.
Oh, good one. Hey, Wendy and I were talking during the break, and we were wondering, with our homeless relatives, with this big snow or with big cold coming in, do they even know? And I mean, do they know what's heading that way?
A lot of them won't know. But like organizations like NAC, we have an outreach team that goes out. We have Southside Harm Reduction Services, which is a syringe exchange service and harm reduction provider in the community. There's a number of organizations in South Minneapolis that go and sort of work with our relatives who are unsheltered and houseless. And so they'll go out and they'll try to...
Oop, he just froze. So I guess they'll go out and try to help them and ask them to come to shelter.
Somebody must be playing a video game at his house because he just froze.
Yeah, he needs more expensive internet service at his house there.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm sure the police will go out, too, and warn them and say, you know, listen, we're expecting a lot of snow. This is really dangerous. You know, I mean, those little tents that I see out there, 22 inches of snow is pretty heavy. God. It could collapse them. It could.
Well, really... they're not the biggest thing either. How do you roll out of there without being like your door covered or the drifting of snow?
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's other things too, and we're supportive.
Maybe text Dr. Stately and ask him to turn on again.
When the wall of forgotten natives were going on, we were really supportive of what was going on there. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to fathom what was happening there because of there's so much survival stuff going on. Dr. Stately, are you back with us?
I'm back, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Cool.
The precursor to Snowmageddon is you lose your internet. but I think basically there's a lot of outreach folks that go out and try to get supplies and things that they need as quickly as we can. That, of course, is not to take care of the fact that we have so many unsheltered relatives in our state. And one quarter, so 25% of all the unsheltered people in the state of Minnesota are indigenous, are Native American. We have some of the highest rates of unsheltered people in our state. And so, you know, I think it's a good reminder to do things like, you know, carry extra water, carry some more extra socks if you have them, any of those kinds of things that might be helpful and meaningful to like your relatives or our relatives and who are unsheltered. Just extra things in your car that you can hand people if you see someone that needs like, you know, a warm jacket, some mittens, some gloves, some warm socks, dry socks, some water. People oftentimes also can get dehydrated in this weather because the cold air sucks, you know, that's why we all get all like dry and ashy in the wintertime, because it's just like the moisture gets sucked from everything. So just like ensuring that we can do things for our relatives to keep them safe. And if you have the ability to sort of host someone, or, you know, take them, give them a hot cup of coffee or a hot chocolate or something like that, I think, you know, a little bit of love and compassion goes a long way.
Exactly. I like what you said there too, and we've talked about that too. Even for your own protection, you want to definitely have those things in your car, but also to be able to hand them out to people that may need it in need. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, Dr. Stately.
And we will have a lot of our relatives riding, doing things like riding the buses, riding the trains, those kinds of things. I think doing our part also and trying to help people to understand why we have the situations we have with some of our relatives, doing things like, you know, encouraging, you know, people within your sphere of social influence to sort of be compassionate and understanding as well. So those are all things we can do.
So. Yeah, definitely.
And you can also call your legislator and encourage them to pass some of the bills that are in front of them. There's the governor has a bill going in that's going to provide historic amounts of funding for affordable housing.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Stately, that you bring that up too, because through COVID, we realized that the government's got a lot of money stashed. You know, I mean, nothing was happening, but we were getting bailout money and money here and there, and no taxes were being collected. Mm-hmm. So if there's a will, there's a way, I truly believe. And that tells me the past years that there hasn't been a will to help our relatives out there. You know, we were talking about the Wall of Forgotten Natives. If you look directly to your right from there, when that happened 3 years ago, you see a $1 billion stadium. That's used basically, 20 times a year?
Yeah.
You know, eight times for football and maybe some concerts?
Yep. And the rest of the time it's like, sits empty and costs lots of money to air condition and maintain and do all those things. And, you know, like the governor we have this historic amount of money in our coffers in the state, and, you know, actually, I think the governor's proposed that they pay off the bond on the U.S. Bank Stadium 10 years early. So, you know, that's how, in theory, that will save a lot of costs and interest payments. But, you know, the part of the biggest challenge that we have with some of this stuff is that, like, people are, I don't think... legislators and decision makers, they end up getting like a lot of their very livelihood a lot of times is connected to them getting reelected, right? And so part of it is like they go with they make poor decisions, or they make the decisions about a handful of their constituents want within their district without taking a look at the impact on the gestalt, the whole entire spectrum of the community. And they make decisions about like the use of resources based on like what's going to satisfy the 51% of the people that are going to reelect them to their office, rather than doing the right thing or the reasonable thing or the smartest thing. Like last year, we could have, if we had been able to have a bipartisan sort of agreement on how to pass a bonding bill, which this last year is the general obligation bond, which we usually do for infrastructure, it was historic low rates of interest. It was like, you know, interest rate was like 0%, and we could have borrowed money on such significantly lower rates of interest than we will this year. This year we'll be paying, you know, 3 or 4 times higher than interest rates on those bonds. The challenge is that people don't always operate from their principled and their spiritually higher order self. They oftentimes act from you know, their own fear and the fear of not being liked by my neighbor or the person across the street, or the fear of not being reelected to my office because I do something unpopular, quote unquote unpopular.
Not a true definition of a leader. And, you know, that's something that's so bad for us, Dr. Stately, that it'd be great if we could stretch out the representatives to 4 years so they aren't representatives here in Minnesota, so they're not constantly funding and running.
Exactly.
And that's what
you're saying. Constantly running campaigns, having to raise money, those sort of things. Also, be good if we could like pay legislators for them to put it too, right? So they don't have to pay them a fair and livable wage, right?
I missed what you just said there. What did you say that first part?
Oh, pay our legislators a fair and livable wage so they would feel more invested in the process.
Exactly. Hey, we got a minute down to go for this segment. We're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and I noticed that you had a party that we weren't
invited to.
Yes, Wendy, yes. And we'll talk to you on the next segment about that. Oh, look, he's shaking his... He put his camera on.
He's back.
Yes, wow. And we'll give you the third degree on that because that looked like a fun party and a lot of good selfies. But yeah, we have a reason to congratulate you when you come back.
So, you have time to think of a good excuse.
Well, wait. We do have more than a minute here now that I'm looking at the clock. So, Dr. Stately, you were celebrating an anniversary there. Can you tell our audience?
Yeah, well, I was at NAC was celebrating their 20th anniversary. So we opened our doors in February of 2003. So
right on.
This is our 20th anniversary.
We'll be back and we'll talk about that and find out where our table was. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh, go ahead, Wendy. Stay with us. Come on. Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. Also, Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, Zoe, that was a good one. Zoe's got a good pitch in there. You know, it really matches.
A lot of practice. But she's doing great.
She's doing great. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we are talking about the Native American Community Clinic's anniversary, and that's exciting. And I know you haven't been there the whole time, but just to celebrate that, and then I saw you had one of the one of our great leaders there, and tell us a little bit about your celebration.
Well, we had a luncheon party, afternoon luncheon, at a Wamini restaurant. We did lunch because we can't afford to have a real party like in the evening. Yeah. That's lots and lots of money. But luncheon, it was really nice. It was beautiful. It was in their community room. We opened with a honor song and a prayer from a drum group that is led by a couple of my nephews and a few other folks in the community. I should remember the name. Hokata. Oh, anyway, he's going to kill me when I can't pronounce it rightly, so I'm not going to even try. And then we had a few words from like our table sponsors. We had four tables in that community room, each sponsored by a corporate sponsor of the clinics. We had some really great sponsors who stepped up and helped us sponsor the tables and the event and helped us sort of like celebrate our party. And then it was also an opportunity for us to talk about the soft launch of our capital campaign for our new building. And really grateful to Blue Cross Blue Shield. They were our main sponsor. They gave some really great remarks and applauded us for our work. So it was really nice to see that. The surprise of the day, and then we also had other sponsors, including United Healthcare and Delta Dental, who's been a longtime supporter of the clinic. And then our fourth sponsor was Children's Hospital. But the real surprise was, and you know me, I almost never am speechless, practically never speechless, right? But the real surprise was when Representative Ilhan Omar stood up to make a couple of remarks, so congratulatory remarks for our organization and our clinic. We are in her third district, and she pulls out a congressional record document that was introduced to led to the Congress on the day before the event, just recognizing NAC and its work that they've done, that we've done over the last 20 years, and the contribution that we make to, you know, not just our city and our state, but also to the work that we do nationally sometimes. Just really beautiful. And I was really caught off guard. I didn't know that was happening. I was stunned. I was going to cry. I think I might have actually sort of kind of cried at that moment. But, you know.
I got to give.
I also was really aware that people were taking pictures, and I didn't want to cry in front of anybody. Because I'm an ugly crier, you know.
I was going to say. And then you had my ribbon shirt on. I saw the red one.
I did. I had your
ribbon shirt. We could have been twins if we were invited.
Yeah. In fact, people thought I was you. They were asking me. Like, you
know. Okay, David Kinnear. That's what he always says, too. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was a really beautiful event. It was great to spend time with people and talk about our work and talk about, you know, and do some relationship building. And yeah, it was just a really wonderful day, beautiful day.
To be at that site. Yeah. And where it is.
Sacred waters, sacred spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, having Ilhan there is really exciting because I see her around in the community all the time now. And I know she's a fast learner because when she was running, she was on the show a few times, her initial run. And she wasn't really on top of Native issues, but she's really, really, really made up for it.
Yeah, she has. You know, she was, the Congress has passed congressional spending bills, so what they call them, earmarks. Federal support for critical projects across the country, and each congressperson and senator, congressman and senator get an opportunity to sort of, you know, set in the appropriations bill every year a set of projects that are important to them and to their district. And I think a couple of years ago she supported the American Indian Center to get a large appropriation from her, I think, 2022 congressional directed spending bill. We were in this year in 23 for $1 million from her. So that was our opportunity to thank her publicly for that. And she's done a lot. She tries to show up, I think, on a regular basis and have, you know, meaningful conversations with us that are in the community, that are leading organizations or bringing forth important conversations about the concerns that the community has. She's pretty open to those things. And I don't have her direct cell phone, but I have the next best thing. I have the cell phone of her assistant. So I can always kind of text him and say, hey, I really need to talk to the senator, the representative about this. So it's it's good to see her. She was, it's always lovely to see her.
What a celebration, what a landmark of 20 years. You know, you think about 20 years ago and somebody like Zoe, who's 23 years old, doesn't realize a lot of the strife and struggle it did to have a community clinic like that.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity for me to acknowledge like our beginnings. I tell everybody that like the community really does think of us as their clinic. It's not by mistake that their name is in our name, and I think that shows up in all kinds of ways. They really trust us to do what we can to try and help and alleviate struggling and barriers for healthcare and a number of other areas around social and economic well-being. These are spaces and places we try really hard to sort of move the needle because we know that they're tied directly to healthcare and healthcare outcomes. But we opened 20 years ago with the mission of sort of improving the health of the spiritual, physical, spiritual, and mental well-being of our relatives in South Minneapolis. And a big part of our mission is also to improve the health equity and the health disparities of the community. And we do a lot of that work now. something I really ambitiously worked towards when I came on as the executive officer was to build more stronger partnerships across the Twin Cities with the other organizations that are doing similar work with us, but also the work that was critical for our partnerships and to grow the impact that we can have on the community. And then, also building stronger relationships with state and federal partners that can bring resources to our community to solve really critical situations and issues that are that have a big impact on health, like houselessness. And we're working with a couple of organizations across the Twin Cities, another Native organization, MIWC, and two African American organizations to help to develop a birthing justice strategy for Hennepin County to address maternal and child health outcomes for Black and Indigenous women. And that's an example of where we operate in the policy development arena, where we try to use what we understand clinically, you know, how we understand our culture, our community from a cultural lens and other priorities to set an agenda to help change outcomes over the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow. Hey, Zoe, we only got like a minute left. Do you have a question or a statement? We always want to bring the young ones in, Dr. Stately.
I was going to mention the Birth Justice collaboration, actually. So I'm really glad you got to that, Dr. Stately, because as a former MIWRC employee, I was a part of some of those events and was able to watch some of the panels, and it was just really incredible to see our two communities be able to come together. So here's to more of that type of work. So Chima Butch, for coming on today.
Thank you. I think they're important conversations to have because both of our communities are impacted by colonial structures that put us against each other sometimes and make us fight for limited resources. So.
Good point. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for...
Do you love getting... You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on Oshkosh Air Support WISS and the Talk of Green Bay WGBW.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.